This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Here's the thing, though. We talked a little bit about social media with Charlie Kirk's assassin. Is that where this starts? I mean, it's got to start there, right? There's got to be some connection. We're talking about Snapchat here. Are we, has social media allowed this to grow because the connection is available now? We're like before, you know, great grandpa Jones, who is a shepherd, did some stuff, but he couldn't meet up with other shepherds who enjoyed the same thing. Cause right. You know, how do you bring that up at the local
shepherds?
Right. Right. Yeah. And you can't bring it up at the local tavern. So how do you say, hey, Jeb, how'd you like to, you know,
I got a new flock that just came in.
Exactly. And yeah. One of them's damn cute, let me tell you.
Her name is Lefty. She kind of limps on the left paw over there, her hoof, and you got to...
She can't run too fast, so she, you know... I don't know, like...
Tree.
Again, we're probably talking about a situation where social media has made something like this even easier to grow in our society.
People can find community for anything.
Apparently.
And that's not necessarily a good thing. I mean, right. it's good in many ways, but it's not when it's something really depraved.
Right.
It's something that's dangerous and harmful to other living creatures. But you get enough people in that echo chamber of like, this is what we like to do. No matter how insane it may be, if you have enough people normalizing it, I guess at some point in many people's minds, it becomes normalized. And whatever should be kicking in saying, this is messed up. This is nothing I'm going to be a part of. Doesn't seem to work.
I'm fine with consenting adults doing whatever the hell they want to do. Leave kids and animals out of it.
Sure.
I don't understand why they had to pull in helpless creatures. We need to be the voice for children and for animals. We need to protect them.
How does this even begin?
Protect themselves.
How does this even begin? Like,
that's,
what?
That's my question. Like, does one partner in this relationship go, hey, you know, maybe the dog can take part? The other person at this point should go, whoa, time out. I'm not into this. What are you talking about? And apparently that, I mean, I'm assuming, I'm making an assumption here, but they've got, what, 70 felony charges combined? Yeah. This is not a couple that one person's like, I'm not taking part in this.
It's strange enough that one person would be into this. It's even weirder that you have two that seem to happen to align, unless this has always been a thing. And they've known this, like, from the get-go that, oh, you're into that too? And will we raise our family? Again, the whole damn thing just feels so weird. And not just because of what it is, it just feels like, is this true? It's like, are these people being framed by something or somebody for some horrible reason with this ridiculous story? Or is it just true?
But how do you fake the metadata? How do you fake that?
Right.
Our devices.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean,
devices rat us out.
And if there's images of it involving them, if there is, I mean, that's, well, you can't really, you know. I mean, the Stefan Stearns thing, the Maddie right. Soto case, that was humans. It was child abuse, but it was there. There was no arguing, and it was on his phone, and it was him, and it was her. And when you have that sort of proof, I mean, I know you got AI and all that too, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, this is, it's so bizarre. They're both in Columbia County Jail now. There's no bond. Arraignments are pending. No pleas as of yet. Chief Gerard Butler said, we'll follow every lead. Life sentences do loom. Is one more into it than the other? Is one going to flip on the other? I don't know. Firehouse colleagues blindsided by this. I mean, imagine that one. The firefighter turns out, guess who? And especially if you knew their pets, like if Sparky came by the fire station every now and then, and then you're like, oh my God. When I moved to Wichita years ago, when I was there, it was a really interesting first 24 hours of this news stories that were popping up and the stories that people wanted to tell me about the city. And one of the early stories that I saw on the TV station was about this, not this case, obviously, but it was about somebody and somebody's pet, like the neighbor's pet. And the testimonial that was aired, and I'm like, who did the story? How do you do the story? Was yeah. the neighbor going and saying, why'd you let him do it to you, Snuckles? And then the camera literally pans to the dog. And I'm like, am I watching the Onion news? Or like, what the hell is this? It was the real news. It's real. It's real.
We talk about a lot of yucky stories, but I think this might be my icky story of the week award right here.
Yeah.
All right. I want, if I had an award to actually place in front of me so that you could actually see it, it's mm-hmm. definitely the icky story of the week.
You should get like a bowling trophy from Good
and then I'll find one
every week. Here's Todd's icky story of the week award.
I'm down for it. Yep.
I like that. I like that. I think we've discussed everything. This.
yeah.
I don't know where else to go. So we'll leave it at that. And there's something to occupy your mind this weekend a little bit while you're contemplating the state of the world. On top of that, Brian Walsh, let's go to that case. This is the Brian Anna Walsh case. Anna Walsh murdered at the very beginning of 2023. The Walsh marriage unraveled in late 2022. Things were starting to fall apart for Brian and Anna. And they're quite Cohasset home. Anna was a driven 39-year-old real estate exec, splitting her time between her high-stakes job in D.C. and their three young boys. Brian is 48. He had stepped back from his art world gigs to handle dad duties, but he was carrying a lot of baggage from a federal fraud conviction for art fraud that had him on probation. Rumors swirled about Anna seeing someone in D.C., and she was confiding in friends that she was ready to leave the marriage once Brian's legal troubles caught up. The New Year's Eve rolled around. And they had a few friends over for a little simple dinner. Everyone leaves around 1:30 a.m. And that's the last confirmed sighting of Anna alive. By morning, Brian was telling everyone who asked about her that she got a sudden work call around 6 a.m. on New Year's Day and rushed off to D.C. Her phone pinged one final time at 3:14 a.m. right near the house and then went silent forever. No one at her office had any record of an emergency trip. It was like she just stepped out of her life. That's the way that Brian explained it right away. Very, very casual. Little too neat for something so sudden. But we hear excuses like this a lot in life from folks. Well, you know, this happened. And you think nothing of it until it, like, the evidence starts piling up of where is she? And when you look at the rumors of Anna's affair and Brian's probation hanging over him, how do you think those sort of pressures might have pushed their fights from arguments to something a lot darker?
Well, is he's the one who was spotted at Home Depot, right?
Yeah, we'll get to that in a moment.
Okay. Yeah, that's a process. I mean, I need to go to Home Depot for some stuff and I'm putting it off. So
You should never buy, like a bunch of things that may look like you're hiding or concealing a body all at once. Brian put it all in the same cart. Brian's story about the work call was very rehearsed, obviously. But he had a history of hustles and heartbreak. He didn't come into it with a blank slate. His life was already a string of shortcuts and fall up. He grew up comfortable. His father was a prominent neurosurgeon at Mass General. Brian turned into a habit of basically bending the truth. By his 20s, he was deep into forging art, selling fake Andy Warhols like he does. And sketches online for serious money. Then in 2018, his dad dies, left him nothing in the will, explicitly calling him out as manipulative and dishonest. Brian takes it to court, fights hard, loses everything. The family all pretty much looks, I mean, look at the guy. I mean, this is the guy, yeah. You fast forward to 2021, federal charges hit for wire fraud because he'd been running these art scams through Anna's eBay account without her knowledge. He pleads guilty, ends up on probation with the house arrest and an ankle monitor. And he's supposed to turn life around. I don't blame her for having an affair and wanting to get the hell out of this marriage. it wasn't a good choice, but they have kids together.
Right.
He doesn't turn anything around. He's quietly pawning a friend's Rolex for cash, allegedly. Anna starts opening up to girlfriends about how toxic it all feels, says she's done once he's facing real jail time. Even Brian's mother allegedly gets involved, hiring a private investigator to tail Anna in D.C. and confirm the affair suspicions. It was like his past deceptions were starting to catch up, squeezing the life out of what was left of the family. The irony of using Anna's account for this, you know, it kind of hits hard. I mean, it's betrayal layered on betrayal.
Mm-hmm.
What's your take on this relationship? I find it interesting that when you look at an individual like this, it says a lot that Brian's mom is allegedly hiring a PI to tail Anna to get her in that dishonesty of having an affair while her little angel boy over here is doing art fraud, is basically on house arrest, and she's having to basically pull the load for the family while he's over here. But we got to make sure she's the bad guy, not him. I mean, it says a lot about,
like, doesn't it?
It says a lot about his being enabled throughout his life of poor choices.
What did you say, Stacey? Sounded like Donna?
Yeah, feels a little Adelson-like.
Yeah.
It does.
So I'm wondering, did mom play a huge role in some things here?
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering a lot about what exactly led to this man making the choices he makes and thinking it's going to work out. Obviously, all roads lead to narcissism. And it feels like, oh, well, this is where the apple didn't fall very far from the tree. I know nothing about the woman, so I don't know. But if you're hiring but again, you also have to look at it from the aspect of if he's the narcissist, what sort of story is he spinning to mom about what's going on in life? And his mom, you know, you're going to be on your kid's side for the most part. So who knows? She may have, you know, been another victim of his BS too.
And all three of us, I think I can say this openly, have been in relationships where you come out the other side and you're like, why didn't I see that? How did I miss this? Why, you know, so there's been some stuff online about how did she put up with that for so long? Sometimes, even if it's right in your face, you don't necessarily see it for whatever reason that is.
Yeah.
It's the frog in the boiling pot. And
okay. I don't understand. I don't
the newly recovered frog.
I don't know what the frog in the boiling pot means. You got to explain that one to me. I'm not from the country.
Okay.
You're both in Wisconsin.
I'm so basically you don't as a, not, oh, this is a horrible thing.
Stacey used to boil frogs all the time.
That's what I'm starting to think.
And she learned if you slowly boil them, they don't realize they're boiling until they're boiled. And then she'd make soup. And then she'd hand it out. Then she'd sell it on the street corner to children like a lemonade stand. But it was frog soup. That's what it's about. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
But no, it's not realizing because you're just steeped in it and the temperature is slowly going up. You don't realize that you're starting to boil. Because it's not like you're being thrown into a boiling pot. It's just the temperature slowly going up and it's things compounding on top of each other. It's, you know, he's out late tonight because he's working. It's, I'm not going to be home this weekend because I have to go down to whatever city for a business deal. It's all the things that start adding up. And then you finally realize, holy shit, this has really been happening. It's that gradual sinking into the abyss, you know?
And you're with somebody and you don't want to think that the person you've chosen to be with could do any of this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, otherwise you wouldn't be there.
Right, exactly. And then also I think that you kind of question yourself too, like, how could I let this happen? You kind of look at yourself and you start questioning yourself, like, why did I put up with this or why didn't I question that? But a lot of that comes after you find out everything that went down.
Sure.
Right. Well, exactly. And I'm not a big fan of Louis C.K., but I invoked this a couple days ago and with a friend last night. He made a quote, and I don't know it exactly, but something to the effect of, if you ever have a friend who's getting a divorce and your first response is, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. That's kind of the wrong response because no good marriage ends in divorce. Think about that. If you have a great marriage, it doesn't end in divorce. So the shitty, horrible marriages that need to end in divorce, they do. It's that make sense?
Yes. Better than the frog in the boiling pot. But yes, it does.
It's like a lobster in a boiling pot. Yeah,
that's right. Same thing. And, I said, I hate to talk about Louis C.K. in a positive light. I used to be a fan of his, but he needs some help. But yeah, that was an interesting statement that he made. And it's framed things for me a lot. Like, yeah, you're right. If we had a great marriage, I wouldn't be living in an apartment right now. So yeah, a lot of people who go through divorce, you wouldn't be in that situation if everything was fine.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing is, we don't want to believe that someone we care about could do that for us. But I think a lot of times we hold on to the idea that, well, this will change, things will get better. And I think it's a naivety that it's good that we have that faith in people. I think. And hopefully for some people, life works out and they can believe that. And they end up with folks where that ends up actually being the narrative. Unfortunately, the odds are not great for most where that's going to be the case through most of life. And it's a hard truth. It's a hard pill to swallow that things can be a lot darker than they actually are and that people are capable of doing the things they're capable of doing. And it and that there are some people that are not capable of redemption.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.